Lantern Audio presents Kid on the Go, Memoir of My Childhood and Youth, written by Neil McKee, narrated by Wesley Scott. Dedication. This memoir is dedicated to my late parents, Russell and Alma McKee, who gave me the time and space to wonder and wander far from home. You can go other places, all right. You can live on the other side of the world, but you can't ever leave home. Sue Monk Kidd. Snow and adolescence are the only problems that disappear if you ignore them long enough. Earl Wilson. Everybody's youth is a dream, a form of chemical madness. F. Scott Fitzgerald. Chapter 1. Odoriferous Ontario Origins. I came into this world as the third child and second son of Russell and Alma McKee. My father stood only 5'6", and my mother was about an inch taller. They both had dark brown hair, his combed straight back and hers evenly rolled under in that plain 1940s style. He presented himself in a modest and shy manner, but had a good store of jokes and stories to repeat. Mom would often break out in a giggle at his punchlines or at some funny memory of her own. This made her prettier, in my opinion. I was born a few months after World War II ended in Kitchener-Waterloo Hospital, about 13 miles, 21 kilometers, from my hometown, Elmira, Ontario. At the time, it was a town of about 3,000 people, located in the heavily populated part of Canada at the same latitude or further south than 15 American states. When you mention this to most Americans, they just look at you with an expression that says, "Don't take me for an idiot. I know Canada's up north." Dad had an acute sense of smell. He could sniff out anything that was off, as he called it, and would be the first to point out in an authoritative voice, "It stinks like a skunk, a dead rat, or a rotting fish," a tone he reserved for this sense only. Like him, I never had any nasal blockages. From my early days, I became aware of the foul smells all around me. In Elmira, as I recall, the predominant wind from the west came loaded with the pungent stink from generous quantities of pig and cow manure, courtesy of the Mennonite farmers' fields on the west side of town. I noticed it most in spring and fall and longed for winter when all the fields would be frozen and blanketed in many feet of snow. Shifting winds from the north brought no relief. The fields on that side of town were equally full of animal dung with an added fragrance from the slaughterhouse, which my brother Glenn called Skunk Factory. I never went inside, but I can recall an old horse with an ugly hump on its back, pacing back and forth in the corral outside of Skunk Factory, waiting for its fate to be sealed. Or should I say glued? I couldn't understand how this unfortunate beast could be reduced to glue or why the light brown paste we used at school didn't stink. Winds from the east proved to be more complex and beyond my childish understanding. By the time I was born, Elmira's Naugatuck Chemical Factory, located on that side of town, once a branch of a Connecticut firm, had graduated from producing a substance used in World War II bombs to turning out new rubber and plastic products. Much later, I learned from studying the matter that Naugatuck also gave off clouds of acids, sulfates, and nitrates, noxious fumes few people could identify at the time. The factory's new outputs included particles of its latest products, an insecticide called DDT, and two miracle herbicides, 2,4-D, known as Weedbane, and the stronger 2,4-5-T, marketed as Brushbane. In the 1940s, Elmira was declared the first weed-free town in Canada due to a scheme of spraying all the lawns with discount herbicide from Naugatuck. High school students were even roped into the job. The chemical plant then stood and still stands today near the stately middle-class brick houses of Duke, Water, now called Wyatt, and Herb Streets. But its effects extended throughout most of the town, especially on easterly wind days. Some residents reported, "It's great.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?